Some interesting texts, as always, some that are very familiar to us. Reading in Job is familiar to us because that's what Job says over and over again in the book of Job. I've often said the book of Job is one of my favorite books in the Old Testament. Maybe actually is my favorite book in the Old Testament, strange as that sounds. But I think it could probably have been edited down to about 12 chapters and we wouldn't have lost a whole lot. But there you have it. We still have the whole thing. And so we have Job talking about his trouble. When we get into Hebrews, we have this fascinating passage about how Jesus is our high priest and what that might mean. And we hear these interesting imagery that the word of God is living and active, sharper than a sword. And those two things where we have Job talking about how if he had his way, he'd be asking questions and that they would be answered for him and all of that, I think sets us up for our gospel lesson, which is a tricky one in some ways. And the sermon title comes from the gospel lesson, which is probably pretty obvious. Is it hard being rich? And I suspect if you asked many people that question sort of on the street, is it hard being rich? They'd look at you like you were crazy. And they'd say, of course it isn't. Being rich makes everything easier. But does it? I'm going to read for you a couple of paragraphs from Frederick Buechner, the Presbyterian minister and novelist. He's talking about what it means to be rich. And after this, who knows, this might be the only sermon, part of the sermon we really need. But still, every time I read it, I've encountered it a few times, it just hits me between the eyes. And he writes, the trouble with being rich is that since you can solve with your checkbook virtually all of the practical problems that bedevil ordinary people, you are left in your leisure with nothing but the great human problems to contend with. How to be happy, how to love and be loved, how to find meaning and purpose in your life. In desperation, the rich are continually tempted to believe that they can solve these problems too with their checkbooks, which is presumably what led Jesus to remark one day that for a rich man to get into heaven is about as easy as for a Mercedes to get through a revolving door, which I think is every bit as good and updates the image that Jesus uses. Why does Jesus say it's hard for a rich person to get into heaven? Harder than it is for a camel to go through the eye of a needle, which is, of course, hyperbole. You may have heard the story of the little tiny gate somewhere where you have to take everything off your camp. Somebody made that up in the 400s. What Jesus is saying is that look at a needle, look at an enormous camel. Getting that camel through that eye of the needle is easier or as hard, depending on how you want to look at it, as a rich person to get into heaven. We go back to the beginning of this story, and this person runs up to Jesus, falls on his knees, and says, good teacher, what must I do to receive eternal life? And Jesus says, why call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. And he lists off some of them. Don't murder, commit adultery, steal, don't give false testimony or defraud, honor your father and mother. Those are all things that you can do. They're not always easy, but those are all possible. And so the rich person looks at Jesus and says, I've kept all of these since I was a boy. And Jesus says, one thing you lack. And I will parenthetically insert here, this is Jesus talking to this person, not everyone. This is not a commandment for all people, what Jesus says next. He says, go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. And the reason why I want to make sure that we remember that that's not a commandment that we're all supposed to follow is that sometimes it comes across that way. There are people who will tell you that, you know, if you have any possessions at all, you're probably sinning. You should sell them and give them to the poor and you should live, I don't know how. Jesus is not saying that. Jesus is saying that to a particular person who has been distracted by what it means to have wealth. One of the things that I remember reading, I can't remember who said it, they said, up to a certain point, you work hard so that wealth can do what you want, And then pretty soon you find you're working for wealth and it's not working for you anymore. That after a certain point, the amount of money or possessions or whatever it is that you have becomes the defining focus of action for you day in, day out. And one of the things that this wealth can do is it can squeeze out everything else. Regardless of what Frederick Buechner says, I think some people who are wealthy, and this can include people who are wealthy like we might know, as well as the ultra-rich, I think some of them are in a position where all they ever think of is money or how to get more or how to make it do what they want it to. And I think that's part of what Jesus is getting at when he says it's virtually impossible for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. You'll notice he uses the word kingdom of God here. The kingdom of God was the present reality then as it is now. He's not saying that the rich will never get into heaven. He's talking about the kingdom of God. He's talking about how do these people enter into the reality, the wonder that is the relationship with God through Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit, now. And this isn't to say that all rich people are unhappy, although it appears that they are, as a class, no more happy than sort of regular people, and possibly even less. But what we have is this idea that if you are so concerned about wealth, if it is enough to keep you from following God, then you're in a problem, then you're stuck. In this case, the only thing separating this rich person, this rich young man, from the kingdom of God on earth, from that relationship that he would then start and would enrich his life, was his possessions. And that's why Jesus, when then the disciples later on say, well, then who can be saved? And Jesus says, well, with people this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. And Peter says, we've left everything to follow you. And Jesus says, yes, I know that. And the rewards you get in this life and the next will be sufficient to make up for that loss. They won't be the same, but you will not look back on your life and say, I lived a life of miserable deprivation from the moment I started to follow Jesus. You will look back on your life and say, these were the things that came in that I wouldn't have had room for otherwise, perhaps. Or whatever it might be, because it's hard being rich if what you want to do is follow Jesus. There are many wealthy followers of Jesus, wonderful people, generous, open-handed, who give of their gifts, their spiritual gifts, they give of their resources. They are a gift to the church, and often the spiritual gift they have is that of giving. And one of the strange things about people with the gift of giving, at least now and then, is that no matter how much they give, they always seem to have more than they need. And so they keep doing it, and they keep giving. It's a spiritual gift. It's a mysterious and wondrous thing. But there are also lots of people who are consumed by the desire for wealth to the point where they just don't have time now for Jesus or their family or whatever it is that they have. See, yes, when I have enough, then I will have time. And Jesus tells a parable about that in another place, where someone builds new granaries and all this things to hold all of his possessions. And an angel comes and says, well, that was a waste of time because you're going to die tonight. And you won't be able to enjoy those. Somebody else will enjoy those. And I think one of the things that we can take from this question, is it hard being rich, is that it's a lot easier if we're not interested in being rich. If the ruling purpose of our life is not to achieve more financial or whatever kinds of grandeur you're looking for, if our organizing principle is not that, but is rather, how do I best serve God? How do I best serve the people around me? We may describe ourselves as rich, even if no one else does. I can't remember, once again, who told the story, but they were putting their one of their kids to bed. And it was after their birthday or after Christmas, I can't remember which, and they had made out like gangbusters with Lego. And they had gotten all the Lego they thought they wanted, and maybe even a little bit more. And as he was putting the child to bed, the child said, "Daddy, we're rich in Lego." Every time I think of that, I think, who's richer, that kid or somebody who needs more money to feel that they're rich enough? It's hard being rich, if that's all that matters. It's a lot easier to be rich if you decide that rich means relationships, means using your gifts, means any of those many things other than simply a bank account or a stock portfolio. Because if that's what is going to take up all your time, it will. And it'll be hard for you to fit in the things of God or the things of your family or the things of whatever else you might want to do. But if instead, if we're willing to reshape things and look at other areas, I am rich in grandchildren. Not because I have dozens, I only have three. But they make my life better all the time. You couldn't pay me for my grandchildren or my children, because that's what makes life worth living, or at least part of it. That's what makes my world go round. You couldn't pay me to give up my relationship with Jesus. It's changed over the years, and that's okay. Relationships do. But I'm not willing to sell it for anything. And I suspect that each of us have things that we would not part with for money, for any amount of money, because they're worth more than money. So it is hard being rich if you only measure rich by how much money you have. It's nowhere near as hard if you measure rich by the people in your life, by your relationships, by the things you accomplish with your friends, your family, and in your community. Because when we look away from what we can spend to who we can be with, I think that's when we begin to understand true wealth. And we too will be able to say that we are rich, maybe not in Lego, but in friends, in family, and in God. Amen.